I'm sorry, I think I have to take this.
It's a call. Hello?
Hello, is Mrs. Chow there, please?
No, you have the wrong number, actually. This is not Mrs. Chow.
That's funny, you have the right voice. I talked to you last week, Mrs. Chow. You came to the police station. This is Sergeant Graham following up on your visit.
Okay. Okay, well...
Are you Mrs. Chow?
Well, actually, I was told to use the name Charlene Chow. I'm not really Charlene Chow, but somebody told me to do that.
By whom?
Well, my friend Neil talked to Pastor Dave, who's actually Mr. Chow.
Pastor Dave?
Yeah. Well, he's a little loose with the truth sometimes, and he suggested it would be okay.
I'll have to interview him then. Get me his phone number and send it to me on email, please.
Okay. I'll try.
This is getting quite complicated with all these people I've got to interview. You're taking all my time.
Sorry.
What is your name?
My name is Maya McKay.
Already knew that, actually. Well, that's good to hear. Well, Maya, here's an update on your file. We checked with the Pan Pacific Hotel because they're right here in town. They did not have a record of Charlene Chow ever staying there. But now I'll have to look up and see whether you ever stayed there.
Well, actually, my husband and I did, and it was his idea about the towels, actually.
Yeah,
he believes that corporations
husbands are our
should
problem.
Share. They should share, and we're just helping out.
Okay, well, I'll have to interview your husband then.
Well, he's not available. He's not.
Well,
he's
I'll
not around.
Find him. I know where he hangs out. He's on the downtown east side all the time. We have records on him.
Oh.
About the office supplies missing.
Now, you know, my boss...
I need to talk to your office manager.
Yeah, but you know, she told me it was okay to do this. She does it all the time herself, and she said it would be fine. So I'm just doing what other people do.
So does her boss know about this?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, give us her name, and we'll interview her, too.
She's actually in Burundi, and she'll be there for a little while, so you probably can't get a hold of her.
Burundi's not a problem. We got an agent there. So we'll send on some names to him. Okay. Now, what about this list of people on your computer that you had as a sort of business that you hadn't reported to the government? We'll need their names, too.
Sorry, but the list was taken. The computer's stolen. I don't know their names.
Oh, so that's very fortunate for you and for them, I would assume. We want to find out if they've been paying taxes on your services.
Oh.
Regarding the power washer taken from the garage with the name Liang on it, we need to interview Mr. Liang. Please send us his phone number and address.
You know, Mr. Liang, he's really not all that reliable. He doesn't always tell the truth about stuff, so I'm not sure that I would speak to him about it. He's a bit of a troublemaker, actually, in the neighborhood.
Well, just give us his name and address, and we'll check out to see whether he thinks you've been telling the truth.
This is getting to be such a web. I can't believe it.
It's getting too complicated?
Well, yeah. You know, it's probably time I fessed up on some of this stuff. And
you have something you want to say?
Well, yeah, you know, you should just ignore all of that stuff that I told you, because I'm not really, you know, I didn't mean to take that stuff. It felt like I wasn't stealing at the time, and it was just,
well, you
I didn't realize.
You blamed a lot of people for your behavior.
And I'm sorry.
And you've been destroying other people's reputations. You ever heard of defamation?
Yeah.
Or libel?
Yeah.
I could throw the book at you.
Well, I confess I've done all of that, and I'm especially ashamed to say that I was Mrs. Chow. That was really unfair. It caused a lot of trouble. I'm so sorry.
The truth will set you free, and it saves me a heck of a lot of time. We'll try to find these items and give them back to their rightful owners. Maybe you should pray that you'll not be tempted and delivered from the evil one.
I'll try to be more straightforward in the future. Okay. Bye. Bye.
During last year's Remembrance Day commemorations in Ottawa, you might recall a gentleman by the name of Frank Gervais. He was observed to be impersonating a soldier. Gervais was standing in uniform among veterans and service members of the Canadian Forces who attended the ceremony, which, coming after the fatal shooting of Corporal Nathan Cirillo at the War Memorial, had attracted thousands of people and national interest as well. To civilian eyes, he appeared to be a veteran sergeant. However, veterans and serving members of the Canadian Forces observed that his uniform was not entirely correct, and that he was wearing medals he had not earned. They pointed to his style of beard, which was not allowed in the military, and inconsistencies in his uniform. His shoulder strap and banner were one of the things that were done the wrong way. A number of veterans were also upset that he wore a medal for bravery. And considering the sobering circumstances, I wonder if their anger was justified. Well, he has since been suspended from his job, and he's been charged. What puzzles me is that he has even posted wedding pictures with him in his fake regalia. I can't imagine what was going through his wife's mind as the news broke. Broken trust has many consequences, doesn't it? Listen to this next story involving some young students, young adults, in fact. These four students were late to their morning classes one day. They entered the classroom and solemnly told their teacher, well, they were detained because of a flat tire. The sympathetic teacher smiled and said, well, that's okay. But, you know, it's too bad because they had just missed a test that morning. In fact, it was a significant quiz. But she was willing to let them make it up. She gave them each a piece of paper and a pencil and said, sent each of them to the separate four corners of the room. And then she told them that they would have an automatic pass, 100%, if they could just answer one question. Which tire was flat? Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever been misrepresented? In our series, 10 Freedoms, a study of the Ten Commandments, we're looking at the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false testimony. Wouldn't it be great if we were a little bit like that marionette, that famous marionette, Pinocchio? Think about it for a minute. Every time we stretched the truth, every time we told a little white lie, our nose would grow in proportion to the lie. A little lie, our nose would grow just a little bit. But a great big lie, and whammo, you get a big nose. Can you imagine what would happen? As the Russian President Putin has asked, is Russia supplying heavy weapons and troops to the rebels in Ukraine? Mr. President, do you know anything about the murder of one of your critics, Boris Nemtsov? Know anything about that? For some reason, the popular family circus comic strip comes to mind. Not me. I don't know. Nobody. Who did it? Nobody. Frederick Buechner has something to say about lying, and he says this. He says, there is perhaps nothing that so marks us as human as the gift of speech. Who knows to what degree and in what animals have the power to communicate with each other? But to all appearances, it is only a shadow of ours. By speaking, we can reveal the hiddenness of thought. We can express the subtlest as well as the most devastating of emotions. We can heal. We can make poems. We can pray. All of which to say is we can speak truth. The truth of what it is to be ourselves, to be with each other, to be in the world, and such speaking as that is close to what being human is all about. What makes lying an evil is not only that the world is deceived by it, but that we are ultimately dehumanized by lying. We are created for truth and to speak the truth. Jewish law has 613 commandments in its mitzvot, which is the whole law, including several instructions related to honest legal testimony. You can just see eight right here. These are just short listings of of those. We won't go through every single one of those. But as we can see, truth-telling was and continues to be taken very seriously. Truth-telling is important to God. Originally, the commandment was intended to help make legal proceedings a just affair. In that time, even more than now perhaps, working out justice depended on the honesty of witnesses. They didn't have CRI, or CSI, crime scene investigation. They didn't have the same kind of science that we have now to prove certain things. So they really relied upon the honesty of witnesses. Of course, this is only possible if a witness tells the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? Even today, this reminds us of that exaggerations, perhaps, or half-truths, or misleading silences, even. They can all, in fact, be used as lies. The principle of holding truth sacred goes way beyond the law court and touches all of our everyday lives. Lying is a falsehood, and it's covered by today's passage. Yet there are so many other ways that we can bear false witness. I'm going to ask us a question. Can we think of any other ways that we can lie, be deceptive, can mislead others? What are some ways? Just shout them out. Dyeing our hair? Maybe if it's supposed to be gray, Tammy? What else? Conspiracy theories, okay. What else? Gossip, okay. Yeah. Did you hear that? Did you hear that one? What else? There's a whole bunch of them. Come on. And I know that we all participate in them at some time or another. Or we have. Or maybe we're afraid to admit that. Credit card fraud? Oh, okay. So using credit cards and spending beyond our means to create an image that maybe we can't afford. Wow. So not paying for the toilet paper at the bottom of your shopping cart yesterday, Jen. Is that what you're saying? It's theoretical. You know, self-deception is a major one, isn't it? We can lie to ourselves and say, you know what, and justify it, right? You know what? I come here, I'm an honest customer, right, Jen? And, you know, I deserve to have this toilet paper. It's just toilet paper. It's recycled even. So it's really not worth that much. Being dishonest, right? Misrepresenting ourselves or a product if we're a salesperson. Little white lies. You know, oh, that's not going to really hurt someone. Or, you know what? Little white lies that might even help people feel good. Can you consider that? Sometimes I think we might call that flattery. What about false humility? Oh, no. Not me. I'm not good enough for that. You know, this commandment has since been generalized to include concern for honesty. Right? That's the whole bottom line. And we've been hearing over and over again about the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth can actually set us free. In our society, truth sometimes is such a precious commodity because it's so rare. Our concern for honesty should include reporting of whatever kind of form, shouldn't it? I mean, tabling a budget. Our church just did that a couple weeks ago. What about the provincial budget? What about elections spending? Things like that. Any kind of form of reporting, newspapers, magazines, television, radio, websites, anything that is mass media, really. False or malicious gossip was yelled out. It misinforms the public, doesn't it? It can have detrimental effects on individual people. False representation deceives employers, especially if you say on LinkedIn or on your resume, yeah, I've got a PhD in metaphysics and chemistry. And where do you stop? It should also include propaganda, I think. What about advertising? Is advertising ever at the fore of this? False advertising, maybe? You know, you're going to be saving lots of money if you buy this brand, only to find out that this brand needs to be used twice as much because it doesn't quite get the stain out. Well, filling in reference forms, host of other things. It all, honesty touches everything, doesn't it? Behind this commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, has everything to do, though, with our inability to regard ourselves truthfully and to speak truthfully to one another. But more importantly, our deceitfulness has to do with our inability to speak truthfully of God. Think about that for a minute. We are creatures created to speak truthfully to one another, and our lives are distorted when what we say to one another is not disciplined or formed by the worship of a true God. I appreciated the question that you had asked, Maya, the kids. Why do we lie to one another? Why did Satan, a liar and the father of lies, lie to Eve in the garden? Maybe it was a little bit of malice and a pinch of pride. And when we lie to do harm, to cause trouble, I think that is malice. When we lie to impress or to move and use a person and to keep that person from seeing us in a bad light, that is certainly pride speaking. Satan lied and continues to lie because he hates God and godly folk, and he wants to extend his anti-God revolt to the rest of his spheres of influence. We often lie to one another to shield ourselves from exposure and to further our interests. There are so many motivations for lying, and Neil and Maya Skitt kind of touched on that. There's fear of rejection, right? Fear of being blamed for something. Fear of taking responsibility for our own actions. Fear of the consequences, perhaps. We lie to get ourselves out of a tough spot, take the heat off ourselves. Maybe we lie because of just pure contempt or rage or revenge even, or boastful contempt and conceit. What about fraud? We want to steal something, so we lie. Or we just want to shine by telling a good story that happens to be a little bit taller than it should be. I remember my dad saying, I caught a really big fish. You know, I caught a fish. How big was it? It was this big. Indeed, lying in some shape or form is so universal. It's as much proof of our fallenness as are the locks and alarms on all our homes and our car doors. It's a part of our world, and it's a part of our context. Lying insults not only our neighbor, but we might be able to fool our neighbor for some time, in fact. But it insults God, whom we can never fool. A truth-telling, promise-keeping God who cannot lie and who wants to see us in his own image naturally hates a lying tongue and a false witness who breathes out lies. You'll find that in Proverbs. It is not so much God who reveals to us the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments that reveal God to us. You shall not bear false witness because God does not do that. God is a God of truth. Lying is a part of Satan's image, not God's, and we should not wonder that everyone who loves and practices falsehood should exclude themselves from God's city. You find that in Revelation 22. There is no godliness without truthfulness. Lord, have mercy on us, as we prayed this morning. We are all sinners. Now, God is truth, and we are made in his image, and we've been created for friendship with God and with one another. Nothing is more important for friendship than trust and an ability to speak truthfully with one another, right? That's how we build up trust and friendship and longevity. God gave us tongues to speak truthfully. As followers of the living God, we're called to seek our neighbor's best interest, speak the truth to them, and to speak the truth of them. We're called to let our yes be yes and our no be no. Living truthfully is so much easier on our hearts and our minds when you think about it. It's good for our health. It's hard to keep track of all the deceptions or all the lies or the misrepresentations that we have going on. You saw in the sketch where Maya was just, she had woven such a tight web that it was hard to escape. And ultimately leads us into deep stress, depression, fear. It's just tiresome and exhausting, isn't it? It ultimately stresses us out and leaves us very unfulfilled and frustrated, as it does the people around us. We are creatures who want and need to be loved and valued for who we are. So where do we go from here? I think practicing truth-telling is an important exercise for us. Practicing truth is essential in establishing any kind of trust. Without truth, it is difficult to build a deep and meaningful relationship with anyone. A big part of learning to be truthful people includes being truthful with ourselves. Are we living in falsehood? Meaning, are we okay with who we are? Can we accept that God loves us with our warts and all, without our makeup on, without the hair dye, without the expensive clothing, without that credit card, without that prestigious job, without that compliment, without that ego stroke? Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And just like his kingdom, which exists in the now and not yet, as Al has said, we too are masterpieces in the now and masterpieces still yet to be completed. That is good news. God's continuing to work on us. Let's join him in that endeavor. If we can accept the truth, we can move forward. I'm just learning a little bit about that. We could admit our mistakes. We can take ownership and responsibility for our actions. And we can come to him who makes us free indeed. The truth will set us free. In order to live in freedom, we need to practice authenticity. In order to do that, we need to be authentic. In order to live truthfully, we need to understand that God does not make garbage. He doesn't. More importantly, we need to come to know the truth himself. Again, I love how Brother Frederick Buechner puts that. He says this. He says, when Jesus says that he has come to bear witness to the truth, he's talking about Jesus and Pilate. Pilate asks, what is truth? In John 18. Contrary to the traditional view that his question is cynical, it is possible that Pilate is asking it with a lump in his throat. What is truth? Instead of truth, Pilate has only expedience. His decision to throw Jesus to the wolves is expedient. It's pragmatic. It's easy to do. He's got a caseload that he has to still see. Let's just get on with it. Pilate views humankind as alone in the universe with nothing but its own courage and ingenuity to see it through. That is enough to choke up anybody. There is no help out there. We're alone. And Pilate asks, what is truth? And for years, there have been politicians, there have been scientists, there have been theologians, there have been philosophers and poets and artists and so on to tell him what truth is in their minds. The sound they make, though, is like the sound of crickets chirping at nighttime. Jesus doesn't verbally answer Pilate's question. He just stands there. What is truth? Pilate asks. And Jesus just stands there. And he stands. And he stands there right in front of Pilate. Through his silence, Jesus was declaring, you're looking at him. What is truth? You're looking at him. You're looking at the living truth. Truth incarnate. Truth enfleshed. Jesus is the embodiment of all truth. For us to live authentically, we need to live truthfully, brothers and sisters. We need to come to terms with the truth. We need to face him and allow him into our lives. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, John 14:6. If we come to him, John 8:32 says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Thanks be to God. We're going to close with Ernst Lang's writing, I am the Lord your God. You shall not lie, he writes. You don't need to deviate from the truth, neither in order to run down your neighbor, nor in order to hide your failure, neither for your own convenience, nor because others demand it of you. In time, lying makes a hell out of humanity's life with one another. And isn't that the truth? As the worship team comes forward to lead us in our last song, let us pray to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Lord, you wanted us to live in truthfulness, but we have destroyed the bridges between ourselves and our fellow person. There was always a reason for a lie or a half-truth, whether it was our convenience or the example of others who lie, and the lack of courage to admit our mistakes. It's become so common that it has become a habit for us, and we live among people for whom it is just the same. Lord, the distrust between us grows increasingly greater, and we've brought it upon our own heads, Lord. We cannot help ourselves. So, Lord, be merciful, and let us learn to trust each other again. Would you teach us that, O Lord? Thank you, Holy One, for your truth and for being truth to us and for setting us free. Amen.